All right, Pastor Doug is gone today. He will return next week. So while the cat's away, the mice will play. All right, we are going to start this morning with the game of Family Feud. In your program, on the back, if there is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sticker on that program, I need you or someone in your party to come on up, okay? I'm not going to embarrass you. You may leave with a prize, okay? But bring your program up. Bring your program up so I know which team you're going to be on, all right? All right. Okay, you are on Team Leonardo. Same as you, all right? All right, there's the last one. Laura over there with those guys. The rest of you three are going to be over here. You are Team Michelangelo. All right. Now, I realize that the game Family Feud maybe dates me a little bit, so I want to just explain some of the rules, okay? Everyone know how to play? Brady, you know how to play? You're kind of young. Because you're young. You guys know how to play? We're going to do one kind of just a fun one, and the next question is actually deals with what we're talking about today. So we're not just up here having a good time. We're going to flip a coin. I'll have you guys call it in the air. If you win the toss, you can decide whether to play. Well, actually, you're going to guess first, and then they have a chance to go higher, and then we play or pass. If you get three strikes, you're out. The other team gets to steal the points. Sound good? All right. Nick, call it in the air. Heads it is. All right. First question is this. Name a place where you might sing. Name a place where you might sing. Nick, you go first.
The shower
is answer one. All right. So you have the opportunity now to play or you can pass. If you play, you have to get all the next four answers before you get three wrong. Otherwise, pass. Oh, wow. Hey, they're going to pass to you guys, okay? So you're up. Deb? Church. Number two, place of worship. There you go. Okay, good job. Riley, no cheating. Okay, Shane, you're up next. Driving while in the car. Yeah, that's the only one you better give him. All right, Laura, you're up. School. That's a good answer, but it's wrong. All right, Deb, back to you. A place where you might sing.
In my house.
Survey says. All right, Shane, it's up to you to get one of these last two. Otherwise, you guys be working on your steel answer, okay? Fair enough. At a concert, ding, ding, number three. All right, there's one left. That would be the same. Yeah, why don't you go with something else? Because that would have been wrong. So, the backyard. No. All right, you guys have one chance. It's tough. It's a tough one. Karaoke it is. Ding, ding, ding. All right. You guys did all the work and they get all the points. That's a bummer. All right. Round two. You guys will go first on this one. Round two. Name the most important factor when deciding where to attend church. Kelsey, we'll start with you. That's supposed to be... Yeah, sorry. I mean, it's not group time here, you know. What's that? Denomination, good answer, but incorrect. Strike one. All right, Nick.
Location.
Location.
Boo!
Boo! This is going to be a pretty easy steal here. Brady. Stop it.
Style of service.
Now we'll go with that teaching, preaching style. Okay. There's some gruffling out here, though. All right, Kelsey, back to you. Yes, number five, children and youth. All right. Nick. Got two strikes. You guys working on your steal? Got it?
I'll go with head preaching.
Nope. We already have it there on the teaching. Sorry. All right, guys. Just one correct answer to win this second final round. Yes, ding, ding, ding. That's the third one. Church mission and vision. All right, the other answers were number two, friendliness of the people. Number four, people I know attend there. All right, give them a hand. Stay up here. You are all winners in my book, so everyone gets a little gift card to the Pizza Ranch. All right. Good job, guys. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thanks for playing. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brady. Being a good sport. All right. Brady was really excited that he got the program on the way in this morning. So it was. It was forced. It was forced. It was forced. We needed you, pal. All right. Well, this morning we are looking at material from the story that talks about the earliest Christians, the first church. And so if you read your part from the story, it comes primarily from the first 9 or 10 chapters of the book of Acts. And we get our first glimpse of what the first church really was about, the things they did, what was important to them. And so we kind of want to talk about things we should be looking for in a church. And you know, today, the phrase church shopping is kind of a common one. You move to a new city, or maybe you get dissatisfied with your current church, and so you kind of go around from place to place to see, you know, what's out there, what a church has to offer. And we have all these factors that we rate churches on, you know, the teaching, the friendliness, the mission, children's music, all these, you know, external factors that we judge churches by. And yet the Bible has some things that we should maybe be measuring our churches against. So look in Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 42 through 47. If you have your copy of the story, it's on page 392. If you're using that YouVersion app, we've got the text for you as well. It'll be on the screen behind me too. Let's look at it. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying all the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we want to know what a church should be about, we need to look no further than these verses right here. Really, most everything that a church should be about is contained in these verses right here. So this morning, I want to just work through a few things and help us either choose a church, which sounds funny, but maybe you're visiting with us today and you're saying, well, how should I choose a church? And I want to give you some guidelines for that. And if you've been here at Hillcrest for a while, I want to give you some guidelines to say this is a church that I should be staying at. If we're not meeting these guidelines, then maybe you should move elsewhere. But there's three things that I want us to kind of base picking a church on. The first is this: your church should help you care. Your church should help you give a rip about the stuff that is important to God and the stuff that's important in life. And we look back at verses 42 and 43, one of the elements you see the first Christians doing is they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And so when we look at our family feud game, you know, teaching and preaching is a significant factor when it comes to choosing a church. And I know that in my years as a pastor and just from talking to people, friends and family who attend other churches, there's lots of opinions when it comes to the teaching that is happening in churches. And so people will say things about the teaching, and I just kind of chuckle. And I want to kind of share with you a couple of my favorites. The first thing that people will say about teaching is they'll say this. They'll say, boy, that pastor just teaches from the Bible. That pastor just preaches God's word. It's interesting because I have yet to be at a Christian church, whether it's a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, a Baptist church, where the priest or the pastor is preaching from something other than the Bible. It's not like they're opening up the book of Quran and saying, okay, you know, we're going to throw down today on Muhammad's sayings. Or it's not like they're saying, okay, open up your copy of The Hunger Games, we're going to see what Katniss is doing, okay? We're really going to dive into this passage today, okay? No, every church primarily is teaching from Scripture. When people say that pastor just preaches the word, what they're really saying is that style really resonates with how I'm wired. So if it's verse by verse, then they really like that. Or if it's more topical and focused on application, then they really like that. But most pastors are opening up the word. It's just they're presenting it in a way that either hits you or doesn't hit you. My other favorite is this. We'll compare the sermon to food, right? So we'll hear a message and we'll say, oh boy, that message, that was milk toast today, okay? That was milk toast, which means it was soggy and it was sweet and it wasn't that, you know, that good. The opposite end of the spectrum is go, wow, that he brought it today. He really brought the meat. It was just so, oh, it's just like a steak, you know? Or they'll say, boy, I got fed this morning. Or they'll leave and they'll say, boy, that message had a lot of fluff in it. It was cotton candy, you know. All these food analogies when it comes to the teaching. I want to give you an inside tip from the pastor's perspective on that. We already know that, okay? So when you call our message milk toast, we already know that. We designed it to be milk toast. We weren't expecting this weak cotton candy message to be this, like, steak meal. We knew that it was sugary and sweet. We did it for a purpose because we know that every Sunday across America, there are people coming to church who are either restarting or beginning their spiritual journey. And so as good as a verse-by-verse exposition of Leviticus chapter 26 might be, it's probably not going to do so well for someone who's just coming back to church for the first time or is just recently starting their journey. And so we go light on purpose to help meet those needs. And we're banking on people who are more mature in their faith, more mature in their walk to say, you know, I'm going to sacrifice my need for some meat today because I know there are people here who need to hear a message that maybe isn't as deep. And then we also design messages and sermons and teaching that is to be meat because we do know that there are topics and subjects and books of the Bible and passages that we do need to discuss as a church family. And we're willing to kind of say, you know what, if you're newer to the faith or newer to your spiritual journey, you might not get a lot out of this, and we're okay with that because we need to talk to the church this morning about this topic or that topic or this issue. The teaching you receive at church should help you care about three things. The first thing it should help you care about is your own spiritual growth. In today's day, there is no excuse for not growing in your faith. Any follower of Jesus who says, you know what, I'm just not being fed, is actually saying more about their spiritual life than they are about the church that they attend. Because come on, people, we live in 2013. You have the Bible on your phone. You have the Bible on your tablet. You can switch versions with a click. You don't like the NIV, go to the NLT. You want it in Spanish, click a button. You can have devotions emailed right to your inbox. You can have stuff tweeted at you or Facebooked at you. There's a plethora of resources to help you grow deeper and grow closer to God. But when it comes to the church's teaching, it should push you to grow in your faith. You should hear things that you need to do more research on. You should hear things you need to do more study on. There should be things you hear on a Sunday morning that lead you to more questions and lead you to discussion and push you to finding answers. There might be things you disagree with, and that's okay too. Those are all signs that God is doing a work in your life. The second thing the teaching should help you care about is the gospel. I don't know about you, but when I read this part of the story, when I read the first part of Acts, every time I read it, it is so clear that the disciples had a crystal clear understanding of the gospel. Jesus lived. Jesus was crucified because of our sin. God brought him back from the dead, resurrected him so that you and I could have a restored, forgiven, redeemed relationship with God. That's it. Our sin put him on that cross. He was crucified, brought back from the dead, and we need to confess that sin and believe in Jesus to have that relationship. Everywhere you go in the book of Acts, Peter, John, Paul, they're all preaching the same basic gospel message. And so biblical teaching at your church needs to get you to care about the gospel for your own life and for the lives of those that you care about. Finally, the teaching you receive at church should get you to care about application. You see, teaching is more than just getting smarter. Any teacher worth their weight in salt, if you're a school teacher, you know that the goal is for the student not to just learn, but for to do something with that information, right? 2 + 2 means nothing if you can't apply that to your day-to-day life. And the same is true in biblical teaching. We want to give you some good information, sure, but we also want to make sure that you're applying that information in your day-to-day life. And when you look at this first part of Acts, you just see some amazing things happening. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Some of those signs and amazing things are this. Peter and John, they'll heal a guy who cannot walk. Peter and John will find themselves in prison. They use it as an opportunity to share the gospel. Sick people are seeking out Peter for healing. Peter will find himself in jail again and is miraculously released by an angel. An angel comes to the jail, opens the door, Peter gets to go free. Peter is flogged for sharing the gospel, and he considers it a privilege to be persecuted for the sake of what God is doing in his life. Stephen will be martyred for the gospel. And so when it comes to teaching, it's got to be more than just, oh man, that was so good. Oh, that was just mind-blowing. Oh, I got to take notes. Oh, I just feel so much smarter. The teaching was the foundation for the earliest church, and it served as the power and the purpose behind all the miraculous stuff happening. The healings and the imprisonments, the being released from prison, the courage, the conviction with which these people were living their lives. And so Peter and John and the apostles could be bold in their faith because bold things were happening. Teaching's got to help us care. Care about our growth, care about the gospel, care about how we can apply that in our day-to-day lives. Secondly, your church should help you contribute. Your church should help you contribute. Maybe you're thinking, all right, here it comes. Here comes the talk about money. I know we couldn't talk about church without, you know, talking a little bit about the coin, you know, talking a little bit about the green stuff. That's your perspective, fair enough. But hopefully we'll kind of disprove your perspective here in just a minute. Look at verse 45. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, this isn't about converting to some socialistic or communistic type of economy. This has nothing to do with government regulated this or government sponsored that. This is about the earliest believers making sure that those who had needs in their community had none. That teaching they were receiving was motivating them to care. to care about the gospel, which led them to caring about other people. And sometimes it takes time or money to show that you care, right? I mean, if you lost your job or you are going through some health thing that required you to take some time off from work, and your friend comes to you and says, boy, I'm so sorry that happened to you, or I'm praying for you, or boy, I feel really bad that you're going through that. That helps. I mean, words help, but let's be honest, words cost you nothing. I mean, you're going to say so many words in a day, you might as well say some good ones, I guess. But if you go to that same friend and you say, I really feel bad for you, you know, here's some flowers, or I really feel bad for you, and here's a gift card to Hy-Vee, or I really feel bad for you, let me watch your kids, you know, for the evening so you can have a night off, or I really feel bad for you, I want to, you know, take you out for coffee. Well, that kind of care costs something. You see, care requires two things that all of us wish we had more of: time and money. And so when you care in a way that requires either time or money, you're making a very sacrificial gift to that person. And that person, they also want more time and money. And when they receive that gift, they know it was a sacrifice for you. Caring for other people requires resources. And so your church should help you care in that kind of way. Your church should help you contribute. It should encourage you. It should push you. It should challenge you. It should prod you to make contributions with either your time or your resources. Now, I'm biased because I work here and I love this place. And I'm biased that this is a pretty good place for you to invest either your time or your resources into. I can't think of a better place, actually, to make those investments. But it's not just about here. We'll get to that in a minute. But in the last few months, Hillcrest, and when I say Hillcrest, I don't mean just this sign out there. I mean you. Us here, Hillcrest. In the last few months, Hillcrest has sent Susan Gernick and her son Josh to do mission work in Honduras. And that cost about $2,000. We purchased all the scissors needed for the Banquet's SOS school supply program to help under-resourced students get what they need for the upcoming school year. That's $1,500. We helped two families finalize adoptions and two more families begin that journey for the cost of over $10,000. And in the next few weeks, your giving will do these things. It'll provide a meal and a gift card for all of Cleveland Elementary's teachers and staff. That'll be about $1,000. In September, we're going to do this gas giveaway with Hy-Vee right across the street, where the first 400 people that come in a certain time will get a $10 Hy-Vee card to help with their purchase of gas. We'll get you a lot more details on that when that event comes sooner, but that'll be about $4,000. And then also in September, we take an offering for Feeding South Dakota and their backpack program. Typically, that offering comes in at about $7,500 or so dollars. The church should be about believers pooling their resources together to achieve things with their collective giving that they could not achieve on their own. But honestly, it's not about here. So if you're giving somewhere else or you're serving somewhere else, I want you to know that is awesome. To keep doing that. If you've got, you know, a group of your friends at a workplace and you're really passionate about a cause that your work is passionate about, go do it. Or maybe you and your family have always supported a certain ministry or a certain nonprofit. Keep doing it. This isn't about shifting that stuff into here. What gets worrisome, though, is that if you attend a church and you're never challenged to contribute your time or your resources, either to the church itself to help them accomplish local and global things, or to the local and global community itself. I hesitate to say this, but if you're never challenged to give your time or resources to either your church or to causes that are important to you, you maybe need to find a different spot, find one that'll do that. So your church should help you care, it should help you contribute, it should also help you connect. Specifically by having relationships with other people who are also following Jesus. Look at verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. If you have a physical copy of the scriptures, you could circle that word together. If you're using the YouVersion app, they got a nice highlighting feature. You can just highlight that word, together. I get the sense that for the earliest Christians, church was more than just an hour a week. Now, I'm not saying that we need to get together every day, okay? You're probably like, oh, if he thinks we're getting together every day, he got another thing coming, right? Okay, I'm not saying that. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if church for you is about just coming here on Sunday morning, you just can't connect very well with what we do here. Because we gave you about 30 seconds to a minute to shake some hands and to meet some people. And then if you stay around afterwards, maybe you'll talk to a few folks for a few minutes, or if you came here early, maybe you got to see some folks around coffee or just hanging out. But really, 11 minutes on a Sunday morning isn't enough to get you to connect. The 1 minute you spend shaking hands, and then the 10 minutes maybe you spend before or after service. I don't think we can get the type of togetherness that's being seen in Acts 2 just by coming on Sunday morning. So the church you attend ought to be pushing you to connect with Christians outside of this worship service. And again, here at Hillcrest, we have lots of opportunities. We've got studies for men, studies for women, opportunities for children, students, small groups that meet during the week. We have a small group that will start on Sunday mornings coming in the school year, small groups that meet weekly, some that meet once a month. I'd love to help you, you know, find a group or find a class or consider being part of that, part of something like that. But I also want you to know something, and that's this, that there is no way we here at Hillcrest can offer every feasible opportunity that exists out there. So if there's a group out there that we don't have here, by all means, consider joining that group. You know, maybe you have some friends who don't attend Hillcrest, but you want to get together with them. You want to talk about something. You want to talk about faith. You want to talk about, you know, marriage or parenting or dating or work or whatever it might be. Then go do it. Get together. The thing about connecting is it doesn't have to be done with just what we have to offer. I mean, I think you'll benefit by participating in what we offer here. But the point is your church ought to be encouraging you to connect with other people wherever and whenever that happens. I think sometimes churches, and myself as a pastor, we can get a little competitive or territorial when it comes to church programming. I can remember around VBS time, I was running a bunch of errands for the VBS program. It's hard to believe that VBS was in June. This summer has just gone by so fast. I'm like a kid. I don't want school to start, and that doesn't even affect me. But we did do VBS this summer, and it was back in June. And I was running a bunch of errands for it. I had just gotten back to the church after being gone for a while, and my wife calls, and she says, "Say, would you go get us some fishing line? We needed to hang various props." I'm like, "Yeah, well, I was just at a store where I could have, you know, picked up that thing, but no problem. I'll run right back out and go get that, you know." I didn't want to go to one of the big stores because I just spent time there. I didn't want this errand to become like a 45-minute thing, so I went to Ace just down the road here on Sycamore. It's close, and they're friendly, and I knew they would have fishing line. I'm not a real handy guy, so I don't go there quite a bit. I may be at Ace, you know, 4 or 5 times a year tops. I got there, got what I needed. They asked if I wanted an Ace Rewards card. I said no. They said, "Oh, we're okay with that." Got me on my way. I was back to church in 10 minutes. You know what's interesting, though? You know what the people at Ace didn't do? They didn't harass me for not shopping there more. They didn't say, "Oh, you're here for fishing line, huh? Yeah, it's about that one time of summer we see you, Brian. Sure wish you'd come around here more often." No, they didn't do any of that either. They didn't ask to see my Ace Rewards card before I made the purchase. They were just happy that I stopped, happy to serve me, happy to sell me what I needed. But you know what? Sometimes we don't do that in church. Sometimes we see someone come for a program. Maybe it's a VBS. Maybe it's a youth event. We go, "Huh, sure wish they'd come on Sunday. Sure wish they were here at all of our stuff, not just this special thing. Sure wish I'd see this person more than just Christmas or more than just Easter or more than just Mother's Day or whenever the Sundays are that people come out for church." I'm guilty of that thinking. But instead of ministering to people when they're coming, we have those judgmental thoughts. And don't hear, I'm not saying, of course, I want Hillcrest people to attend our stuff. And if there's something great out there that could benefit us, please bring it to me, email it to me, you know, show me what it could be. I would love to see how it could fit into our church here. But I'm simply saying that sometimes we draw that connection line too narrow, and we think that if people are connecting somewhere else and not here, then somehow it doesn't count. And I want to say that's short-sighted. If you are gathering with other believers, if you're breaking bread with other believers, if you are being challenged and encouraged and held accountable with another group of believers, they simply don't attend here on a Sunday morning, that's okay. We could care less about where it's happening just as long as it is happening. If it's not happening, we have opportunities for it to happen here. Look at the end of that passage. It says the people, it says this group enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, when we get church shopping, we also get all kinds of techniques and tricks and tools to help people come to your church. And so that's why some of this is on the board: style of teaching, friendliness, you know, people, the various ministries we have. And there's a whole industry out there devoted to helping churches grow, getting more people, primarily by these types of things. But if you want a church to grow, you need to do what Acts 2, 42 through 47 is saying. As important as some of this stuff is, I'm not going to say that stuff's not important, but as important it is to being a friendly people and to having a good youth ministry or a good children's ministry, it's a heck of a lot more important that we are getting together, that we're being challenged by the teaching, that we're caring, that we're contributing, and that we're connecting. If you're doing those things, your church or ministry is going to experience growth. Each week we give out this program. On the back of it is a connection card. We're going to give our offering here in a few moments. It's also an opportunity for you to fill this card out. But each week on this card, there's this box right here that says, I am interested in. And if you want to take a next step, if you're looking to maybe say, you know what, I'm not connecting with anyone, I'd love to connect with a group or a class, there's opportunities for you to check that on that card. If you're looking for ways to contribute your time by volunteering in a way, there's opportunities for you to check that box as well. We're going to take an offering, and the plates are going to pass. You can feel free to fill that card out and put that in the plate as they pass. If you're using the YouVersion app, you can fill that card out online. Just follow the link, and you can fill that out online. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you so much that while we are not perfect, Father, I'm humbled to be a part of this group and privileged to be a part of this people as we pursue these things and pursue being what an Acts 2 church looks like. And so, Father, in the areas that we need to continue to grow, to continue to follow you more closely, I pray that we would do that both as a church together and as individuals here. We thank you for the privilege we have to be here today. We thank you so much for this opportunity we have to give to you today. We pray that you would use these funds to bring people here, both in Sioux Falls and throughout your world, closer to who you are. It's your name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to thank you for coming out. Hopefully we'll see you at the Pizza Ranch here in a little bit. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.